we're going to look at chapter 12 together and once again conclude a study of the book of Daniel. 15 years ago, we studied through the book of Daniel together, and it's been a great joy to revisit this book and to once again look at and teach through the great practical applications of Daniel's life and the prophecies that God revealed through His servant Daniel. Now, chapter 12 is just 13 verses long. We've had some long chapters. We've had to work through some very long passages of Scripture. But tonight we only have 13 verses to work through together. And yet, they're filled with great truth and encouragement for us. And so tonight I want us to pray and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. I want to share with you a message called the End Timer, because what we have right here is an end timer for us to use. Lets us know what's next and what to expect. And so let's pray and let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts about it. Heavenly Father, again, we just thank You for the privilege to gather here and to worship You as Your people. And Lord, what a great privilege to be able to open our Bibles, to read Your Word, and to have the God of heaven speak to our hearts and lives. Father, as always, it's a joy to study through Your Word and learn and grow in our understanding of Your Word. And Lord, just to be reminded of the things that we've learned. Father, we pray that You would just bless our time together tonight. Remove the hindering forces that would be present to distract us. Cleanse our hearts and clear our minds. Lord, help us to find fresh encouragement and strength for the days and times in which we live, as we look, Lord, to the glorious truths that are revealed to us through Your servant, the prophet Daniel. Father, as always, I pray You'd hide me behind the cross, fill me with Your Spirit, free me to preach what thus saith the Word of God, and we'll be careful, as always, to give You the glory and honor and praise for all that You accomplish and all that You do. For we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Daniel chapter 12 is kind of like the appendix to the book. It brings everything to conclusion. It wraps up some thoughts and some truths there. The main focus of the chapter has to do with the tribulation time, that 70th week in Daniel's prophecy that we've looked at in earlier chapters, and the last days, the times in which we're living. Daniel, you know, was overwhelmed by the things that God had been showing him. He'd seen these visions. He'd interpreted dreams, but God began to give him visions in the latter days of his life. And he began to see, you remember just a few weeks ago when we looked at chapter 11, at all of the things that God was revealing to Daniel, the wars, the rising and the fall of kingdoms, and all of the persecution and the suffering that was in store for God's people, the people of Israel, and the things that were going to happen under Antiochus and are still yet to happen in the coming days of the Antichrist. Daniel, you know, in his mind and his heart, he has to be like we are when we experience things, or when we're in the middle of situations and circumstances and we don't understand what's going on or why things are going the way they're going. We always have questions of why and how long. And no doubt Daniel's asking in his mind, in his heart, how will all of this end? How long is it going to take for all of this to transpire? And basically what we find in chapter 12 is Daniel is finishing the record of these things that God has showed him, and the angel spoke to him and revealed to him about that vision. Basically, God's giving Daniel, the old timer, an end timer. He's giving him a look at what's next, as what to expect, so that he might be encouraged, that he might be strengthened in his faith. You know, we used to have, not too many years ago, day timers. Anybody remember the old day timers? They were, you know, folders, pocket calendars. You could keep them with you. You could categorize your day, your week, your month. You could write down dates, and you could plan ahead. I used to have a day timer on my desk that I tried to live by. Those things are long gone. I mean, they've been replaced by our smartphones today. We have now these phones that we carry with us, and they're constantly alerting us to things that are happening all over the world. They're also reminding us of things that should be happening. Our calendars, we're reminded, oh, we got a doctor's appointment, or we've got a meeting scheduled here. We're living today by emails, texts, and tweets, and posts, and Snapchats. That's just the way we live. That's how we know what's next and what we can expect. Those old wall calendars and desk calendars and pocket calendars, they're long gone. They're not utilized that much anymore. But you know what? I believe what we find here in Daniel chapter 12 is kind of like the old day timer, but yet it's an end timer. It's something that God gave Daniel, and the reason he gave it to Daniel was so it could be recorded and placed in God's word so that we could have it. It's what I call an end timer. It alerts us to what's next and what we can expect in the days and times in which we live. You see, as we've studied through this book together, we've noticed that all of those dreams and all of those visions of the world empires and the coming kings, they all begin to point towards the coming of a one world government, a rising empire, and of a man who would promise peace, and of a one world currency, and of a one world religion where he would seek to get the people of God, even the people of Israel, to worship him. That's what it was all pointing to in the prophecies and visions that Daniel saw. See, today we're living in a world in which we see that's exactly what the world is heading towards. There's a desire for peace. The world, the nations of the world, were looking for someone who can promise peace, for someone who can bring peace in the Middle East, for someone who can promise Israel peace and settle the conflict and the fighting between the Arabs and Israel and between the terrorists and Christians. Our world is constantly setting itself up for a financial crisis in which a one world currency will be the only solution to it. Everything just is seemingly falling into place. And we're living in a day in which the religion of the world, it seems, our nations desire to promote a one world religion, a religion of tolerance, in which it just allows everyone to believe what they want to believe and to be okay. And the only thing that it doesn't tolerate is any religion that would seek to witness to or invite someone else to come to truth and to be converted from their religion. Israel today is constantly struggling with the threat of fighting. They're constantly looking to nations to stand with them. I don't know about you, but it has been encouraging in these days to have a president who seems to want to stand with Israel and stand for Israel again today. That has been very encouraging to me. But I want to remind you, no president will ever be able to bring peace in the Middle East. There's no way Trump can do it, no more than Obama wanted to do it. But the simple truth is this: there will come a day when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will come and there will be peace. Amen. But before that, there's going to rise a man on the scene of this world who's going to promise peace. And he's going to seek to unite the world in a one world religion. And that religion will be a religion of worship of himself, not the one true and living God. These are the kind of things we have been seeing in Daniel. These are the kinds of things that are next to transpire. And again, we're living in a day and time where a religion of tolerance is literally crept into America, and we tolerate religions and those who seek to kill us, but we refuse to tolerate any religion, that of Christianity, that seeks to love our fellow man and to convert them to a saving knowledge of Christ. I don't know about you, but if you haven't, I would encourage you to look up on YouTube and witness the video of Bernie Sanders attacking a Christian for his faith. Just look it up. He literally attacks a Christian for his faith in his statement that all those who apart from Christ stand condemned in their sin. See, it's amazing how our government today will stand for a religion which the radical folks in it are literally seeking to kill those who refuse to bow to their religion and their God, and yet we are constantly seeking to oppress and to silence Christians who declare what God would have us to do is love those who disagree with us and seek to bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the days and times in which we live. Yet many today would say, well, do you believe the Antichrist is about to appear? See, the world's looking for someone. The Bible says that he's going to appear, and yes, I believe that. But folks, I want you to know, I'm not looking for the Antichrist to appear. I'm looking for Christ to appear. I believe he's already come the first time, died for us on the cross of Calvary, and that he's coming again for us and going to take his church to be with him in heaven during these days of tribulation and great persecution that's going to break out in the world. And so as we finish our study together tonight, as we look at these 13 verses together, I want you to see some of the things that the Word of God sheds light on here in these last verses of Daniel chapter 12. See, God's Word sheds light for three things. First of all, it sheds some light on the tribulation period. Look in verse 1 of this chapter. It says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be written in the book." Now again, we have to remember, at that time, it takes us back to what we saw in Daniel chapter 11. It takes us back to those last verses there where the Lord of history was giving Daniel a glimpse of the future and a future that is still yet to come. Days and times of the tribulation, more specifically, the great tribulation. At the midpoint of the 7 years, at 3.5 years, a treaty the Antichrist has made with Israel would be broken. And it will be a time of great suffering and persecution like this world has ever known. And here in verse 1, again, we see more light on it. It's going to be the time of Jacob's trouble. It's going to be a time of great trouble and persecution for the unbelieving Gentiles as well as for the Jews who have rejected Christ as their Lord and Savior. Folks, the Holocaust that was experienced under Hitler is nothing compared to what it will be like in these days of great tribulation. And what God's Word tells us here is that in those days, Michael is going to stand up. We've met him before in Daniel. He's an archangel. It's very significant what is being revealed to us here. You see, the Bible reveals to us that God created Adam and Eve, placed them in the garden, and gave Adam dominion over the world. Satan entered into the garden. He deceived, he tricked men, and they fell in their sin. But Satan, he wrested that dominion and took it for himself. That's why the Bible calls him the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. One thing we've learned in our study of Daniel is he has his demons. He has his generals, his minions, they're assigned to different nations and people and places throughout the world. He's constantly at work seeking to thwart God's plans and seeking to fulfill his plans as he's seeking to exercise his dominion over man. But you see, God did something I don't believe Satan anticipated. God chose a man by the name of Abraham. And God chose to bring into the world a new nation of people through this man, Abraham, and his faith. And God assigned to that nation and that people an archangel by the name of Michael. And throughout the history of this world, Michael has stood on behalf of those people. And I believe that's why Satan is so infuriated. I believe that's why throughout the history of the world, there's constantly been this attack against Jews and this hatred of the people of Jews. Because I believe Satan and his demons and his minions are always seeking to oppress this new nation and this new people that was chosen by God. And Michael, in those last days, in the days of the tribulation, he's going to stand up like never before. And he's going to intervene like never before. If you remember in our study of Revelation, there's going to be a remnant of the people of Israel that are going to be supernaturally protected by God. The Antichrist will not be able to get to them. He'll not be able to destroy them. Because in the time of Jacob's trouble, Michael is going to stand for the people of God. God is going to supernaturally intervene there, even in the midst of that great persecution. And as it tells us there in verse 1, there's going to be a great purging throughout the world. It says, even at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be written in the book. See, God's wrath is going to be poured out on the earth. And many will experience that judgment and wrath of God. Many will die. But Michael, again, he's going to stand for the remnant. And he's going to protect those who are believers, those who have come to faith in Christ. He's going to spare them, because when Christ comes again, guess what? They're going to form the beginnings, the nucleus of Christ's millennial kingdom on the earth. Those who reject Christ during the tribulation will be purged. There's also going to be a purging of the heavenlies. You remember in Revelation chapter 12, we saw that Satan himself would no longer have access to heaven. He would be cast out, no longer able to stand before God as he's cast out. There'll be a purging, a great purging, those who've rejected Christ, separated from those who have turned to Christ and have sought Christ. So it sheds light on the days and times of the tribulation. But notice what the next few verses do. They also shed light on the tomb. Look what it said there in verse 2 and verse 3. And these had to be very significant and relevant to Daniel. Verse 2, it says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now, folks, you have to understand, in the Old Testament, those who were believers, those who were followers of God, they had an understanding of the afterlife and life after death. But light on that subject was very dim. It was very sketchy. You see, it all came to light when Christ came forth from the tomb and immortality came to light in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the Old Testament times, even though they didn't have the greater understanding of the afterlife and resurrection and eternal life like we do today, they did believe that. They understood that. In fact, Job himself, which is probably the oldest author of the Old Testament, a story that comes to us from the times of the patriarchs before Moses. This is probably the first book that was ever written. The oldest writer of the Old Testament. Listen to what he said in Job 19, verse 26. He said, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Job knew death was not the end, that he was going to stand before God way back in the Old Testament. And here's Daniel, one of the last writers in the Old Testament, in the record of the Old Testament. And here he is given light, even more light, on this truth of the resurrection of the dead. It says in verse 2, "Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." What kind of resurrection is he talking about? Some say, well, this is a national resurrection. He's talking about the nation of Israel, the people of Israel. This is like what Ezekiel saw, the valley of dry bones, and God resurrecting the nation and the people of Israel. And yet, the context doesn't suggest that. There are those who say, well, it's a spiritual resurrection. We know that there is a spiritual resurrection that occurs in our life. When we hear the gospel, when we heed it, when we repent of our sins and trust in Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we experience what baptism pictures. We believe Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. We die to the old life. We rise to it, walk in a new life in Christ Jesus. We're dead to sin, and yet we are now free to a new life in Christ Jesus. But folks, this is not a national resurrection. This is not a spiritual resurrection. I believe this could be nothing more than a physical resurrection. Daniel is enabled to see greater light on this subject of death. And he's told by God, death is not the end. There is coming a resurrection. Those who rest in the dust of the earth will rise. Some to everlasting life, but some to everlasting shame and contempt. See, I believe it's nothing more than the Spirit of God comforting Daniel and reminding him that he will live after death, and everyone's going to rise. Either we're going to rise to enter into life and the blessing of God's salvation, or rise to enter into eternity in which there'll be torment and judgment for our sin. See, there's nothing stated here about the timing of this resurrection. Remember, we talked about how the Old Testament prophets, they saw the first coming of Christ and they saw the second coming of Christ. To them, it looked like one event because it was like looking at mountaintops. They didn't see the valley. They didn't see the church age and all that would transpire. And here's the same kind of thing with Daniel. He's just told by God there's a resurrection. There's a resurrection of those who rest, those who die in Christ. They're going to be raised to a glorified body to meet Jesus in the air and to spend eternity with Him. There's coming a day, as Revelation told us, at the end of the millennial reign, there's going to be a resurrection of the dead, and those who are sinners who've rejected God will stand before God at the white throne judgment in their physical bodies, and they will literally be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. The Bible tells us, folks, right now, heaven and hell is occupied by the spirits of men. But there's coming a day when the bodies of men that have been laying resting in the grave are going to rise, some to a glorified, resurrected body like that of Jesus that will live forever in the presence of a holy God, but some to a corruptible body that will spend an eternity in a lake of fire suffering the wrath and judgment of a holy God. There will be a resurrection. There is life after death. But not only that, there's going to be rewards for some. Notice what he told Daniel as well in verse 3. "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." See, I believe God was letting Daniel know, listen, there's going to be rewards for those who have been a witness for Christ. those 144,000 that John saw there in the days of the tribulation who were sealed by God and evangelists and witnessed in the days of the tribulation, they're going to shine like stars in the firmament, revealing their witness, revealing their power. They're going to be the wise men of the tribulation. They're going to be proclaiming the truth of who Jesus is and who the Antichrist is not, and declaring the gospel. There will be great rewards for them. Just as the Bible reveals, folks, there's rewards for us today who are witnesses for Christ and seek to win souls for Christ. The Bible says we can look forward to the soul winner's crown if we invest our life in the eternity of the souls of men and the Word of God. We can look forward to the rewards. And the wisest thing any of us could ever do is be engaged in gospel ministry and seeking to win lost people to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, God's Word gives us light on the tomb. Death's not the end. We're going to stand before God in resurrection, glorified bodies, but guess what? There'll also be rewards. There'll be the shining witness and testimony of our life for Christ. I was thinking about that this past week and this afternoon, getting ready to preach, and I was thinking about this. You know what? I believe what we need to do today, we need to resurrect our faith ministry. I believe we need to engage our Sunday school in faith ministry. Because the wisest thing we'll ever do is spend time trying to reach the lost, knocking on doors, and sharing Jesus with people in our community. And it'll bring the greatest blessing and joy in this life and for all eternity. There's nothing more exciting than seeing people saved. There's nothing more exciting than that young man that came into my office at 12 years of age this past week during vacation Bible school. And he said this, I believe in Greek mythology. I believe in Zeus and all of these other gods. And I've been to a lot of churches in this community, but I've never been to a church like this one where the people seem to love me. And when you were talking about Jesus and what Jesus had done, and when you invited me to repent of my sins and trust in Christ, I felt something like I never felt before. And I prayed that prayer. Nothing more exciting than seeing people give their heart and life to Jesus. And there's a young man in our community who's struggling with mythology, and he's been confronted with the gospel, and he's been brought to our church. We have the opportunity to reach him in these days while his heart is open. We need to be engaged in reaching out. In witnessing. It's the wisest thing we'll ever do. And then finally, I want you to notice in the rest of this chapter, God's Word sheds light not just only on the tribulation and on the tomb, but also on the times, specifically the times in which we're living, the times that Daniel was able to see, the last days. Now, notice what it says in verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. See, verse 4, it just reminds us of how important Daniel's book is, and basically how important all of God's Word is. God told Daniel to seal the book. Now, you remember when he met with John on the Isle of Patmos, he didn't tell him to seal the book. You know why? Because the message of that book had to do with John in his days, in the church, in his lifetime. Here, God tells Daniel to seal the book. You know why? Because for the most part, the message of Daniel's book didn't have anything to do with those in Daniel's lifetime, but in the world to come, in the ages to come, more specifically, the days and times in which we live. And so when God told Daniel to seal the book, he wasn't telling him conceal it and hide it. No, he was telling him to seal it. In other words, preserve it. You know why? Because the devil and the demons of hell were going to do everything they could to discredit it and to deny it. We've talked about that in our study, how the critics have tried to deny this as God's Word, to deny there was a man by the name of Daniel, to deny that a man could write so meticulously and specifically beforehand the things that were going to happen that have already happened in world history. And yet, folks, we still have the book today. It's still in our Bibles. You know why? Because it's God-breathed, it's inerrant, it's inspired, it's infallible. It is the Word of God. Amen. And we've already seen a lot of those prophecies have already been fulfilled. And the rest are just around the corner. So God's telling him, seal it, preserve it, treasure it. Why? Because at the time of the end, it will provide light for those days. And then he said this, a very curious phrase, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. Many interpret that as saying, well, in the last days, we're going to be running to and fro and traveling throughout the world, a day of technology and advancement, traveling by airplane. You can be any place in the world in just a matter of hours. Knowledge is increasing. We have the World Wide Web and internet. And immediately, the moment a truck blows up or runs over somebody in London, we're knowing about it here in America. The days truly, men are traveling to and fro, and knowledge is truly increasing. And that could well be an interpretation that's valid. The more literal translation of the original language points to the fact that what it's saying is, many shall take this book and they'll search it through and through, and knowledge shall be increased. In other words, as time goes on, this message of this book will become more and more clear. As we've looked at Revelations, as we have the entire revelation of God's Word, as we as the saints of God, we know more now than's ever been known by the people of God. Why? Because we've had the Scriptures, we've had centuries of time to compare, to read, to study, and to see how the message comes together and the things that the Word of God points to. But there's also those who interpret it in a negative sense. There are those who look at it and say, it's pointing to the fact this book needs to be treasured. It needs to be sealed. It needs to be protected, because men are just going to be busy in life going to and fro, and their knowledge is going to increase. They're going to fill their minds and their hearts with heresies and evil teachings and philosophies and doctrines of men that's going to cause them to deny the truth. Listen, I want to share with you tonight, it doesn't matter which one of those three ways you interpret that phrase, they all apply to today. The message of Daniel is becoming clear to us today in days when we can travel from one end of the earth to the other and information is growing every day. The Word of God has been given to us, and we know more today of what God has revealed to us through His Word because we've had these days and times of studying. And guess what? In the midst of all that God's Word has revealed to us, we're also living in a day and time where people have rejected the truth of God's Word and have filled their minds with the philosophies and false doctrines of the world, the flesh, and the devil of men, and they're apostates. They are rejecting the truth. Nevertheless, the message of God's Word is still true. It's been given to us. It's been protected. It's been sealed. And its truth encourages us and strengthens us today in the times in which we live. And one of the reasons it encourages us so, when you honestly study this book, when we come to the conclusion of it, you have to leave with this understanding. The time is set by God in heaven in which all things will come to pass. But also, the triumph of God is sure. notice what we see here in the last verses. Verse 5 through 7, the time has been set. It says, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, 'How long shall it be to the end of these wonders?' And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven. And he sware by him that liveth forever that it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." Now the vision is coming to a conclusion. Daniel now sees an angel on the far side of the river, an angel on this side of the river, and again he witnesses a man who's standing clothed in linen, and he's standing on the water in the river. It's Jesus, I believe, that he saw back in chapter 10. And now again one angel asked him, "How long until all of this will come to pass and it will all be concluded?" And Jesus, with his hands lifted to heaven, that was a sign they used whenever they took an oath of truth. He lifted his hands to heaven and he said, "A time, a times, and a half." See, there was a set time, and what Jesus revealed to Daniel in the Old Testament is the same thing that Jesus revealed to John in the New Testament on the Isle of Patmos. It would be 3.5 years. From the time the treaty was broken, from the time the Antichrist set himself up as God and declared that all the world would worship him. You know what God in heaven says? It's only going to take 3.5 years for God's will to be accomplished, for evil to be dealt with, for the Antichrist and his kingdom to be brought to an end. 3.5 years. Up until that time, everybody's going to be looking to him. They're looking to anybody that can promise them peace. But God's going to bring the world to a place of humility, and there'll be those Jews who recognize he's not the one, and they will look upon him whom they have pierced and know that he is their Redeemer. The time has been set. It will transpire. And folks, the triumph is sure. Look in verse 8 and 9. He says, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" And listen, and he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." See, Daniel, he's listening into this holy conversation that's going on, but you know what? It's way above his head. He doesn't have the things you and I have, we have in Revelation. He doesn't have any of those things. And he's wondering, what does it mean? What? I don't understand it. And here's what Jesus said to him. "Daniel, you're on a need-to-know basis, and right now, you don't need to know. Go your way." Folks, God has revealed to us everything we need to know. But you also better recognize this. There's some things we'll never know until eternity. Till we entered the presence of a holy God. But think about it, folks. Daniel was at the end of his life. He's an 80 or 90 year old man. He doesn't really need to know what all this means. But he's written it down. You know why? Because there are going to be people in latter days and times who will be encouraged and strengthened by what it means. And so the word is sealed. And that's what he reminds Daniel of. Everything that you saw, that I told you, it's going to occur. It's going to transpire. And while you don't understand it and you can't grasp it all now, Daniel, you can be sure of this. It will be fulfilled. Triumph is sure. The devil's going to fight against it. The critics are going to try to deny it and disregard it, but it will come to pass. And look in verse 10, he says this, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. You see what he's saying? He's saying, listen, Daniel, time's going to go on, and the righteous, those who are followers of God, they're going to become more righteous. They're going to seek the Word. They're going to seek the truth. They're going to experience persecution and tribulation, and they're going to be purged. They're going to be tried, and they're going to become more righteous and godly, but the wicked, they're going to keep getting wicked. They're going to keep denying the Word of God. They're going to stay blind in their discernment and understanding of the Word of God. They're going to get worse and worse and more blind. But those who are righteous and pure, they're going to learn and they're going to grow and they're going to understand, and they're going to be witnesses. They're going to shine like the stars of heaven. See, even today, we're experiencing that. In our lifetimes, we've seen mainline denominations that have split right down the middle over the ones in the denomination that believe God's Word and the ones who want to decide what's God's Word and what's not God's Word. And we're living in a day in our nation where our nation is divided as never before. And folks, I want to tell you, it's not a division between Republicans and Democrats. The division is between those who believe God and His Word and those who reject God and His Word. That's the source of the division. Everything that Daniel was told was going to happen 2,500 years ago is happening right now. The righteous are shining more and more like the stars. You know why? Because the world is getting darker in wickedness and rejection and evil. But the triumph is sure. See, this unbelief of men, it's not a mental issue. People don't have mental problems today. We want to blame everything on mental problems. And no, I'm not saying there's no such thing as mental problems. I'm saying the problem in America today is not a mental problem. It's a moral problem. Amen. Verse 11 and verse 12. Listen how this prophecy comes to conclusion. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Now see, I want you to notice here in the conclusion, in the last words here, we find two more significant dates that are revealed to Daniel that have to do with the blessing of God upon His people. But I want you to understand this. Nowhere does God's Word tell us what is going to happen on these two days. I guess we're like Daniel. We just on a need-to-know basis. But you see, there's something we have to look forward to. There's two days in which God has proclaimed great blessing upon His people. And we have that to look forward to. See, the 3.5 years from the setting up of the abomination that makes desolate, 3.5 years, 1,260 days later, is when Christ returns and the Antichrist and his armies is defeated. But here it tells us a month later, 1,290 days after that, something's going to happen. And a month and a half after that, 1,335 days later, after that, something else is going to happen. And it's going to mark the blessing of God's people. Now, Bible scholars and commentators, they speculate. They think, well, you know, it's going to take a month to clean the world up and clean the Battle of Armageddon up and cleanse the temple and reestablish worship. And it's probably going to take another month and a half for the judgment of Matthew 25, where Jesus is going to sit down and the people of the world are going to be brought to Him, and He's going to separate the sheep from the goats, and the goats are going to be cast into hell with the devil where he's being kept for 1,000 years, and the sheep are going to enter into the kingdom and live for 1,000 years under the millennial reign of Christ. It's going to take a month and a half. See, there's a lot of speculation about all of that, but this is all I can tell you for sure. There's something going to happen a month after Christ gets here that's going to be so glorious. The only thing more glorious about it is what's going to happen a month and a half later after he gets here. And it's going to be a glorious time for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Because Jesus is going to rule and he's going to reign in this world. And there is going to be peace because the Prince of Peace will rule and reign. Now notice the last verse of the book. It closes with a personal prophecy for Daniel. He says, "But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." Here's this personal prophecy. See, the angel, he says, "Daniel, listen, don't worry. You've got your end timer. You know what's next. You know what to expect. You may not understand it all, but guess what? You're going to die. You're going to die. That's what rest means. The body's going to rest in the grave. Daniel, you're going to die, but you are going to stand in the resurrection. And you're going to stand in thy lot at the end of the days." In other words, Daniel, you're going to rise from the grave and you're going to enter into and you're going to see firsthand what we've tried to show you and explain to you. I thought about that this week. Can you imagine what it was like for Daniel? Here's a man who has been privileged to serve in the courts of some of the greatest, most powerful men of the world. He served Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He served Darius, the king. He served Cyrus, the great Persian. He served in the courts of some of the most powerful men in the world. And you know what God promised him at the end of his life? "Daniel, that ain't a hill of beans. That don't amount to a drop in the bucket. You're going to serve in the court of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." Wow. Because the time is set and the triumph is sure. Folks, as we come to this end of this study, I trust that our hearts are encouraged, our hearts are strengthened, and we're reminded more and more of what Jesus said in Matthew 24, "As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the last days." In Noah's days, they were building cities, they were making music, they were creating weapons of war with metal, they were engaging in polygamy, they were killing folks and right proud about it. And it's the same thing that's going on in our world today. Oh, we're building, we're advancing in technology, we're engaging in pleasures, we're engaging in warfare, we're engaging in all kinds of... Everyone is doing what's right in his own eyes, folks. And there's coming an Antichrist who's going to deceive the world and promise the world peace. But folks, who we need to be looking for is Christ, who's coming to take us out of this world. And what we need to be today is engaged in seeking to reach this new generation with the truth of the gospel. See, our young folks today, they love Bernie Sanders. They're all so caught up in socialism. They are ripe for the deceptions of the Antichrist. And you know, the only one here in this world that can help them know the truth and be set free from that is the church. It's the gospel. It's us proclaiming the truth of Jesus. Listen, we know what's next. We know what to expect. But we need to live today as if today might be the last day we have an opportunity to witness to someone we love. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word, and Lord, for the fact that you have revealed yourself to us through it. God, You've not only revealed how You created us and why You created us, but Lord, You've also revealed Your purposes and plan of salvation and how it's all going to end in the glory of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Savior and Redeemer of sinners. And so, Father, we pray that You would guard our hearts and minds from the deceptions and evil of this world. Help us to fill our minds and hearts with the truth of Your Word and live according to it, that we might be stars that will shine as a witness and a testimony for You in the midst of these days of darkness. Lord, thank You for the promise of Your soon return. And God grant that many of our family, friends, and loved ones will be ready to meet You when You come, before all hell breaks loose. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. If you need to come and pray this evening for someone or for yourself, you need someone to pray with you, whatever that need is this evening, won't you come? We have an opportunity to respond to God's Word this evening.